Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Youngblood. You are tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's my joy to come to you each day by way of radio. We invite you to participate. This program is designed around you, our listener, to elicit from you a participation. You may agree or disagree. You may have further insights or thoughts. This is what we're wanting to accomplish in reaching you by way of Let's Face the Issues broadcast. As you tune in each day, you can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That telephone call gets you right through to the studios, to the microphone, where we can have dialogue and discussion on these issues each day. And let me remind us once again, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the fundamental foundational bedrock for our life and living and what we do each day. It's an impossibility for us to live life as God would have us to live it without His Word, the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. He had already reminded His disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in My word," that's the word of God, "then ye are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth is a word that is disdained today, despised today, disliked today, dissed today. Truth is that which so often causes others to rebel when they hear the truth. But I'm here to tell you there's no better thing than, as the Scripture admonishes us, to speak the truth in love. And so as I come to you by way of Let's Face the Issues broadcast, we want to broaden your horizons, deepen your understanding of the Word of God, and deepen your conviction as to our responsibility to be salt and light. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ commands that we be, salt and light. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today border babies, the Bible, and the babblings of the Democrats. That's a mouthful. Border babies, the Bible, and the babbling Democrats. You understood that correctly. If you've been watching television, listening to any broadcast or any news, you understand that we're having a major, major contentious battle. It's a verbal battle. It's a battle based on emotion, not based on the law of our land. As a result of that, we're watching multitudes challenge our president. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I want to say to you that I am thankful every day for President Donald J. Trump. I'm thankful for his continuing to fight for the American safety and for our sovereignty as a nation. Our borders must be protected for America to be safe. May you understand that without borders, we have no nation. Without borders, without secured borders, we no longer are the United States of America. Yet we have Democrats, or some say they call it not Democrats, but what is it, Demorats? that are constantly perverting the facts, ignoring the truth. That little word again is truth. Ignoring the truth. You see, the laws that President Trump is following were enacted under Democratic votes and not Republicans. In fact, let me just read you an article. The title of this article says, "Here are the photos of Obama's illegal immigrants detention facilities the media won't show you. It's online, WorldNet Daily. It's dated yesterday's date. And there's literally a couple of dozen photographs. And I can't transmit that to you, of course, by way of radio. But let me just read you the information with it. The media and political class become more and more outraged over the Trump administration's decision to detain and prosecute illegal immigrants crossing the border. Lost in the debate is an acknowledgement that President Obama's administration also used detention facilities. Current U.S. immigration laws, when enforced, have consequences of temporarily separating families that arrive with children into separate detention facilities in order to prosecute the adults. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, it's against the law to cross the border without proper documentation and admission into our nation. The article further says the policy of prosecuting immigrants for crossing the border illegally has been in place for multiple administrations. The Obama administration prosecuted 500,000 illegal immigrants and similarly separated families in the process. So did the Bush administration. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, this law that's on the books passed by a predominant Democratic vote several years ago under Clinton and then Bush and then Obama. And now, and nothing was said when they carried out this process at the border. But now all of a sudden, it is the end of the world when President Trump does so. Why is this so? Why are they doing this? Why are the Democrats so verbal and so onerous about it? Simply because we're in a election year, midterm elections this year. They do not want to sign a bill. There are two or three bills now pending in the House that either one of about two of them President Trump would sign. The Democrats are not going to pass it, simply because they want this to continue until after the November elections this year. They want this to be an issue that pulls at the heartstrings of the American public, that pulls at the heartstrings of moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, and in particular, listen very carefully, the focus is on the evangelical community. That's what they call we as Christians today. They want to undermine and erode the evangelical vote for Trump and his administration and for any Republican that's running in the midterm election. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, yet we yet to hear the fake news and the fear-mongering Democrats, you're made to believe that President Trump just decided to follow some illegal pathway to protest what he does not like in the law, or in some fashion to do something that is illegal. He's simply following the pathway to secure and take care of the borders of America. And now Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are challenging the president to just drop the enforcement. They're challenging the president to simply ignore the law and keep families together and do not separate them when, as has been so profoundly stated, with any U.S. citizen, if you break the law and you go to prison, you're separated from your family. If you cross the border and you've broken the law, there will be a time of separation while there's determination. By the way, I just read some further news this morning on WorldNet Daily Internet News that they're using the DNA process at the borders to determine if many of these children, these kids, these babies, these infants and toddlers, if they really belong to the ones that claim that they're their children. And they've already discovered out of about 12,000, 10,000 of them are illegal and is for the most part are not the children of those that are coming in. And only about 2,000, about 1,900 and some odd children are literally being separated. And that's a low number in comparison to what it has been, but yet this is the law. But ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are challenging the president. Why don't you just go ahead and waive that part of the law? You have the authority to do so as president, and of course he does. They're wanting him to waive that portion of the law so that they will then say, once you, in fact, they're saying, you waive that portion of the law, then we will consider some type of immigration bill. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not news. That's not new. the Democrats are saying that they will be willing to pass a ultimate immigration bill or immigration policy. The Democrats pulled this same stunt on President Reagan back in the 80s. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. If you're not, Google it. Back in the 80s, there were about 4 million illegals in America. I think that number was still small then as far as the real number. But the Democrats prevailed upon President Reagan. I tell you what, you give us 4 million amnesty, you let these 4 million come in under amnesty in America, and then we will pass comprehensive immigration legislation. Ladies and gentlemen, they never did so. That was a trick they pulled on President Reagan. They're trying that same shenanigan, that same sleight of hand, that same loose likes, lost lying, as I call it, with President Trump, and he's not listening. But the irony of all of this, in their screams and scathing attacks against President Trump, based these Democrats, they're basing it on the fake, out of context, partial quote of the scripture. Did you know that? Christopher Hahn, H-A-H-N, Christopher Hahn, a liberal Democrat that's interviewed many times on Fox News to balance the report. I personally don't care for that approach, but that's the way they handle it. It's the reason they call it fair and balanced, I reckon. But Christopher Hahn, a liberal Democrat, recently interviewed on the Judge Jeanine broadcast of Fox News program. Judge Jeanine's broadcast, they were talking about challenging Trump and his separation of children from the parents. And Chris Hahn said, and I quote, "He better be careful. He is in violation of Matthew 25. What does Matthew 25 say? He was specifically referring to verse 40. Let me just read that. "And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." We'll talk about the context more in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, they are using a paraphrase, half quote, out of context of the scripture. Now, I've heard several fake news media, by the way, also voice very similar words, very similar language. In fact, Hillary Rodham Clinton on national news with a blurb of her speech. I don't know where she was. Hillary Clinton, of all people, just said almost the same words of warning the president that he needs to be careful of doing under the least of one of these. And, of course, they're referring to the toddlers and the infants, the young children at the border where they're being separated. And they're using a scripture that is out of context and ought not to be used for a text in the context of their speeches. I just say, wow. What about looking, ladies and gentlemen, if Chris Hahn and Hillary Clinton and the fake news media, if they're going to harp on something about biblical text, as I said on one occasion many years ago when a person seated before me used a scripture out of context to make his case, I said, if you're going to pervert the scripture, don't do it in my presence. If you're going to pervert the scripture in context, please don't do it in my ears. If the Democrats and the fake, false, phony news media personnel are going to quote scripture, and they're going to want President Trump to adhere to the out-of-context quote, then what about murder? These same people advocate abortion, 61, 62, 63 million since Roe versus Wade, and yet the scripture says, "Thou shalt not kill." What about each time something is said by a liberal media person or by a Democrat? Why don't we as Christians start saying, well, what about thou shalt not kill? What about sodomy, the sodomite living, called homosexual lifestyle? What about the sodomite marriages for these liberals? All you've got to do is study the scripture, several places, in Leviticus and otherwise, but especially in Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through 32, very, very clear that God's given them up to a reprobate mind. Sodomy is the only thing that caused God to destroy two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. What about that, Democrats and fake, false, phony news? Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're dealing with what I call today border babies, the Bible, and the Democratic babbling. It is an onerous thing to hear when you find, as I find it, it is simply unbelievable that these lost socialists / liberals and the fake news media will start trying to stick a finger in your eye with a biblical text that they have no idea what the text is saying. And I'll get to that point in just a moment. That is not what Matthew 25, verse 40 is saying. In fact, that's not what chapter 25 in the book of Matthew is saying at all. There's a whole lot of social Christianity today, social ministry based on out-of-context text in Matthew 25. But continuing the thought, if they're going to quote Scripture and challenge something that's wrong, what about the abortion murders, thou shalt not kill? What about sodomite lifestyle, where the Scripture says that God's given them over to vile affection? He's given them up to a reprobate mind. What about drugs and pot? The Scripture is very clear in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20, that we're not to defile our body that God's given us. It is to be the domicile of the Holy Spirit of God, not to be defiled with pot. Oh, yeah, you can call it medical marijuana. All you want to, it's still pot. You can talk about it being needed. It's legal. You can do that all you want to. Still makes it illegal biblically. What about adultery? Some of these same ones that are paraphrasing and half-quoting Scripture for President Trump, be careful with what you do, that it's wrong, and you're going against Matthew 25, Chris Hahn said on the Judge Jeanine show. What about adultery? Thou shalt not commit adultery, Exodus 20, verse 14. What about lying? Thou shalt not bear false witness, Exodus 20, verse 14. What about stealing? Thou shalt not steal, Exodus 20 and verse 15. And I can go throughout the Scripture. I've just chosen those that are very clear and succinctly stated. But the more fundamental problem, ladies and gentlemen, is not the using of a biblical text out of context. The most fundamental problem is not just to use the Scripture to challenge an issue. That's what I do every day, using a biblical text in context to challenge the issues that we're faced with in life. But knowing the Bible well enough to do so and to get it right is the key. Matthew 25, what does it really say? Let's just think about it for a moment. Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 are both what's called eschatological texts. It's talking about end time future events. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, chapter 24 and 25, by the way, is a succinct unit of thought together. Matthew chapter 24, it's part of the Olivet Discourse. It's part of what Jesus is saying when the question is asked to him, when the end will be, when shall these things be and what shall be the signs of thy coming? And then all of chapter 24 and 25, Jesus is telling them. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew is written to a Jewish audience, not a Gentile audience. Yes, it's the totality of Scripture. Yes, it's applicable in life. Yes, it's applicable for believers today, but in context, to understand what it's saying. Jesus goes on to talk about, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's verse 4 and 5. But dropping down then to verse 9, the Scripture says, then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. Of all nations. He said, you shall be hated of, out of all nations. Who's it speaking of? Israel? The Jews? For my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many, etc., etc., etc. Getting to chapter 25 then, you deal with the first 30 verses. It's dealing with the talents. It's dealing with the 10 virgins. Five are wise and five are foolish. And we've applied that many times in our studies, theologically and doctrinally speaking, that we need to be wise and ready for the coming of Christ. And then in verse 31 of chapter 25, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. and before him pros in front of him, shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king, that's speaking of Jesus, say unto them, on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, time won't allow me to go through all of the scripture to succinctly exegete these verses. But let me just simply say, when it comes to Matthew chapter 25 that Chris Hahn was talking about, it is not talking about what he was applying it to with the babies, the kids being separated from parents at the border. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 11, is the prophetic text that is talking about the Jewish people. Matthew is written to a Jewish audience, having application to everyone, yet in context, we must realize the message. And then Matthew 25 is talking about judging. It's not talking about judging those that are saved and lost. No. Many people conflate it with the judgment. The judgment of the lost is at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. That's also after Christ's return. Keep in mind, this that we're seeing in relationship to Matthew chapter 25, and it's talking about how you've treated the least of these, my brethren, speaking of the Jewish people, my brethren, speaking of those during the days of the tribulation, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14, 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, with the focus being on getting the Jewish people, which now have their eyes covered, getting the Jewish people to say yes to Yeshua Messiah, when they will ultimately be saved, according to the look of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9 and following. When they come to the point where it seems as though the Jewish people as a nation will be annihilated, they will recognize Yeshua Messiah and will be saved, be brought into the millennial reign with the church age saints also. This is why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to know the Bible. This is the reason it's so important to know the context. This is the reason it's so important to study the Word of God and know what the Word of God is saying without equivocation. So don't you tell me in challenging President Trump about what he's doing at the border, that Matthew 25 applies. Don't you tell me, don't you try to convince me that somehow, some way you can denigrate Christianity and Christians by taking a scripture out of context and making it say something that it doesn't. You know, the old saying is you can take scripture out of context, make it stand up on four legs and bark and call it a dog. And that's simply not to be done when it's taking the Word of God. We need to be very careful in studying the Scripture, knowing what it says in context. This is why it's so important to know the Scripture. This is the reason we have Conservative Theological University today. Conservative Theological University has had the privilege for some 35 years now of training men and women in the Word of God to be Christian educators, to be pastors, evangelists, and to be missionaries around the globe. I'm thankful that we have those that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in America, but around the globe, preaching and teaching the word, evangelizing the lost, equipping the saints, and exalting the Savior as a result of the training at Conservative Theological University. We have a seminar this Friday and Saturday, Friday night, 6:30 till 9:30. Saturday from 9 o'clock until about 4 o'clock with about 1 hour midday for a brief lunchtime that you could leave the campus, go get lunch, or stay on campus and have the light lunch that we provide. But it is called the Panorama of Prophecy, the Panorama of Prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss the seminar. Don't miss being here. You can call 904-262-8275 and leave your name, telephone number, and contact information that someone can get back with you and get you registered by telephone. You can just simply show up at the door at 6:30. Be best to get here before 6:30 on Friday afternoon because the conference starts at 6:30. But we'll be looking at the scripture, every scripture in relationship to prophetic text, eschatological text in prophecy. It is called the Panorama of Prophecy. It's an in-depth overview of every event in the biblical text relating to the rapture, that's the sudden seizure, the snatching away of bride of Christ. Immediately following the rapture is the 7 years of ruin. The Bible refers to it as the tribulation. Some refer to it as the tribulation and the great tribulation. We'll talk about why that is called that. We'll talk about why it's 3 years and then 3.5 years and then 3.5 years, why it formulates the 7 years. We'll talk about that 7 years as why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. We'll talk about why that period of time is the prophetic fulfillment of what's called in the 70th week of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. We'll talk about the rapture. We'll talk about the 7 years of ruin, the tribulation. And then we'll talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When will he return? Will he return bodily? Will he return visibly? Will everybody see him? There are a lot of folks today that have said, over the past 40, 50 years that it prophesied when Jesus Christ is going to return. We had some of that foolishness just in the past couple of years with the four blood moons and then with the other misinterpretation of biblical text, Revelation chapter 12 in particular, where some of these online gurus had come out of the woodworks with their garbage about, the world was going to come to an end last year and then this year in April and why it was going to be fulfillment of the Revelation 12 text. All absolutely hogwash. So you need to know the truth, and the only way you can know that is to know the Word of God in context. Look at a chronological understanding of the Scripture in context, and we're going to be looking at, and we will look at this in the Panorama Prophecy Friday night and all day on Saturday. For those that are registered, enrolled students in the Bible College, it's your regular tuition. That's already taken care of. That's fine. But if you are coming to be with us, and we invite you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a pastor, if you're wanting to be a pastor, if you're thinking that God may be calling you for future ministry, do not, I plead with you, do not miss this opportunity to study the Panorama of Prophecy, looking at the rapture of the church, the 7 years of ruin, the return of Christ. What happens when he returns? What takes place on a global basis? Will everybody see him? Will he come back as a phantom, as the Jehovah's Witness said in 1975, that Jesus returned, but he just returned as a phantom, that no one has seen him, but he's really here? That is a bunch of horse feathers, ladies and gentlemen. And then we'll look at the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year, that is called the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the completion of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're ushered into the new heaven and the new earth, that place called the New Jerusalem. And beyond that, we will live, rule, and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to participate in this wonderful seminar, the Panorama of Prophecy, you can go online and go to info@conservative.edu. That's INFO, info@conservative.edu. Leave your registration information there. Someone can call you back and get your information, get you registered, or you can call at 262-8275. But we're going to be at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's the CTU University campus and the First Conservative Baptist Church campus. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 1 mile south of I-295. The fee is very small, $99, and that includes the books, the lecture, the syllabi, and your light lunch on Friday night and Saturday. And we're looking forward to having you with us. It will be a joy and a delight for us to see you and allow you to participate. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't emphasize enough for you to get a handle on eschatological truth, biblical truth, talking about the prophetic text in the Scripture. The seminar is Panorama of Prophecy, Friday night, 6:30 to 9:30, and on Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.